You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. When mental illness strikes a loved one, the first person many families turn to is often a faith-based leader, a priest, minister, a rabbi, or an imam. Helping the clergy do a better job of helping members of their congregation who are suffering from mental illness. That's one of the important pieces of the 9th Annual Muslim Mental Health Conference. It's being put on today and Friday by the Michigan State University Department of Psychiatry. This conference brings faith leaders together with healthcare providers and researchers from all over the world, and the public is also welcome. Dr. Farha Abbasi is the founder of this conference. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry at MSU and a regular contributor to Stateside. Welcome back, Dr. Abbasi.
Thank you, Cindy.
And we welcome Imam Al-Turk with the Islamic Organization of North America, based in Warren in Macomb County. Imam, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Dr. Abbasi, take us back to 2008 when you first put this conference together. What did you see missing in the Muslim community when it came to mental health?
So what I was realizing that not many are acknowledging, accepting, or accessing care. I was seeing the same issues happening within the community, but there was this deep shame, silence, and stigma. And people were just suffering and not wanting to do anything or not even sure what to do about it.
And here you've been at this now, and it's the 9th time around. And a big part of this conference is the mental health first responder training for faith and community leaders. Imam Al-Turk, you took this training. What did you learn? What was your biggest takeaway?
So we as clergy, number one, we are not trained in pastoral care as, let's say, priests or other ordained clergy in the Christian faith. So this is something that is different for us. Naturally, we do get cases even back home regarding mental issues or mental health issues. Only recently they have begun to pay attention to those issues, because in the past, having lacked this training, it was almost impossible to diagnose whether it was a real mental health problem or it was just imagination or hallucination. So as many imams have come together to take that training, we learned quite a bit on how to identify a person who has mental health issues from those who may not have real issues, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, so this training that you took helped you start to recognize exactly what to look for that could say to you, all right, this person does have mental health issues.
Yeah, that is correct. You know, psychosis, schizophrenia, the symptoms of such diseases. And then later on, as we learned all these terminologies and also during the training program, that helped us when we encounter in our congregations individuals who may have such symptoms, and then refer them to psychiatrists. Of course, they supplied us, the Muslim Mental Health Institution supplied us with resources where we can send our clients to seek help. It's one thing to have this physically, you know, biologically or whatever, this change in the brain that causes certain things to happen versus, let's say, things that is being imagined and you can heal it spiritually.
Dr. Abbasi, this isn't a challenge that's just limited to Muslim faith communities, because it strikes me that any member of the clergy, no matter the faith tradition, needs knowledge to recognize and intervene and help someone who has mental health issues.
Absolutely, Cindy. That's what I realized, that once I started working with my own community of practice, I realized that this model is very much needed and can be replicated in any faith-based community or even minority communities, because the culture pretty much becomes very same, very collectivistic, very interdependent. That said and done, of course, now American Psychiatric Association has also acknowledged the importance of faith-based mental health initiatives. We are now finally accepting that faith has a very integral and important part to play in your resiliency, be it form of a religious practice or a spiritual way, may it be yoga, may it be mindfulness. So one thing is very common that we see a recurring theme is that mental illnesses are deemed as spiritual weaknesses. So it's so important that faith leaders or imams and mental health providers work together to differentiate where it is a true crisis of faith versus a crisis of your mental health.
And I'm wondering, through your years as a psychiatrist, how, in your experience, how well are members of the clergy trained in mental health issues?
I think it's an ongoing process. It's a journey. But I am so very proud of my Southeast Michigan community. In every given conference, we see 30, 40 people attending. And as over the years, we have developed it further. So we started with very basic knowledge. Then we did trauma-informed training. Then we did substance abuse. And now we are also talking about mandatory reporting. So imams right now have taken on a very important role in our cultural religious identities. They have become, in a lot of ways, more than religious leaders, and their responsibilities have grown exponentially. And I think the knowledge and the education has to grow along with that.
Mental illness certainly carries stigmas, no matter what communities you belong to. Imam, I'm wondering if you could explain to us what the stigma is like in many Muslim communities regarding mental illness.
This is a big challenge for the Muslim community. There is definitely a stigma. People who have developed mental health issues, their parents, relatives, or even the community for that matter, do not want to acknowledge this as such, simply because they look at it as shame, as something that they don't want to deal with, if you know what I mean, in the community. Mm-hmm. However, I think the community have realized that these issues are real and they require immediate attention. So the community is learning. We deliver in our sermons, among other instances and events, we do talk about the mental health issues. Spirituality, as Dr. Abbasi mentioned, really does play a great role in helping the individuals get out of depression that may lead into anxiety, that may lead into psychosis and other mental health issues.
So you truly are a first responder, just as much as a paramedic who might be riding an ambulance and coming and deciding, you know, that first line of treatment. And Dr. Abbasi, I'm going to kind of throw a big challenge at you. When you think of the information that you pass along in the mental health first responder training, what do you believe is the best and most important way that a first responder like a faith leader can intervene to help someone who is mentally ill?
I think the biggest role that the faith leader plays is the validation that, yes, it is a disease process. Knowing where it is mental illness and which needs to be treated like a disease, an imam or a faith leader or a clergy stands up and says that to the congregation, it has a whole different connotation than me coming in with my books and saying, oh, it is depression, it's bipolar, it's schizophrenia. One of my professors explained to me this really nicely, that in each of one of us mind, we have a jury of 10 important people. It could be our parents, it could be leaders in the community, but a faith leader definitely is part of that 10 people sitting there. So if that 10 person are criticizing you, you feel like, okay, my father wouldn't approve, my mother wouldn't approve, my imam wouldn't approve of this. This is how you develop the stigma, the shame, the silence. But if an imam or a family. So my goal with this training not only ends with faith leader, it starts there. But the hope is then it transmits to the community leaders. Then it goes to the family members. And then an individual feel not only validated, but comfortable talking about mental illness, accepting it, and accessing care.
The 9th Annual Muslim Mental Health Conference happening today and tomorrow in East Lansing. And we've been talking about it with Dr. Farha Abbasi, MSU psychiatrist, and Imam Al-Turk with the Islamic Center of North America in Warren. Thank you so much to both of you for this discussion and giving us a lot to think about.
Thank you so much, Imam Al-Turk. You made my day.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Thank you for having us.